Welcome back here to the Two Guys Named Chris Show.
I know what you're thinking. Are we playing match game again? No.
I'm sitting here disc jockey jaw jacking because I got BB Shea in here just going.
Gossiping like a hen.
Just like a
cluck, cluck, cluck.
I'm just a hen and nothing but sitting over here on my eggs and gossiping with BB Shea.
Check a little, pick a little.
Yeah. Serves me right. I've got that's awful. I got the match game music playing. Now, later today on those Facebook fan groups, they will skewer me for that. They'll be like, oh, guess he couldn't get his fat finger over there.
Another incomplete.
Another terrible.
Another fail.
Another failure. Another incomplete. He plays the match game music twice.
And let me point out that it hasn't gone unnoticed by myself, by Chris Dem, that BB Shea came in and you're like, oh, finally, something good. As we've been sitting across from you for hours listening to you go, oh, I can't pickle. Oh, Gene Hackman's kids. Oh. We have to deal with this every day. BB Shea gets to show up and you're like, oh, refreshments, finally. Bringing in something worth talking about.
Somebody interesting to talk to. Jeez. These two. Oh. Am I right?
Breath of fresh air in here. Yeah. BB Shea. No, he said something interesting off the air. Yesterday, he played golf. And so Chris Dem, being polite, says, how was the golf game? I never would have.
You don't care?
No,
you don't know.
I wouldn't have cared. And he said, terrible. I played terrible. Nice day. A little chilly.
A little windy, nice.
Yeah. And, you know, he said, I just can't get any better. And I think, I used to play golf. Unless you play, like, almost every day, you really can't improve. It's a tough game. It's hard.
True. But I play the same course every week, same day. And it's like I'm playing it for the first time every time.
But I think at our level, and we're not very good golfers, the course almost doesn't matter. You know, it's like you can play the same one every day. And now if you were a pro, of course, you'd master it. You'd know exactly.
Sure.
You know, they say like Nicklaus or Woods knew the Masters like the back of their hand. They put it exactly where they wanted it. You know, they knew how to play.
Before we get into today's hot take from BB Shea, you have mentioned that your putting is not where you'd like it to be.
My putting's okay now. My driver is just, I'm throwing
it out.
Can you
put the ball where you want it or no?
Sort of, yeah. With my irons and my wedges, yes, I can put it where I want it.
Okay,
not my driver. Can't do it.
Hard. I always find the
worst club in the bag.
Is it are you curving?
I'm slicing all over the place, spraying. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's what drove consistency. That drove me out of the game.
Into the
arms of pickle. We welcome you over here. If you come on over.
I don't know about that. I'm not old enough, I don't think.
Whoa.
I was thinking more of his Achilles snapping.
You know what? A pickle, easy game to play. Hard game to be really, really good. Mm. Like a lot of things, I guess. Like the better you get, the more you want to get better. And it's like tiny little increments.
I got you.
I'm frustrated by it. But BB Shea's point is, if you have a child and you want to make him into a great golfer, then if you put him out on the golf course at age two, like Tiger Woods, and you put a golf club in his hand and really make him commit to it all the time, really growing up that way, it's almost impossible for him not to be on the PGA Tour. Is that what you're, or to be a great golfer?
That's my argument. And I was thinking about that to myself, or anything, really. Mm-hmm. Like, if you, at a young age, just start doing something, and you have that discipline instilled in you from your parents, I think I could have been a professional golfer if I started at that age and committed my life to it.
But you might burn out. You'd have to really like it.
You have to have a love for it. And maybe that's where that disconnect happens between most people who start things early. But like, I feel like if you have a love for it and you like the game, I don't see why, if you dedicate your life to it, you can't be a pro.
Well, you know, look at like baseball players who their parents are on them and they like it early, but then they burn out on it. You know, by 18, they've burned out, or they've reached to, like, they're good enough to be double A, but they're never major.
It's one of the most commonly quoted films of the 20th century. I don't want your life.
Yeah. Varsity Blues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whipped cream bikini.
That's right.
Two things you remember from Varsity Blue. Whipped cream bikini.
Well, then the heavy set dude.
Yeah. Heavy set.
Yeah.
Billy Bob. May he rest.
More, frankly.
And then that line, Mox. I don't want your life. That's right. He got burned out. He was really good, but he didn't dedicate himself.
But do you think that maybe comes down to socioeconomic situations? You know, like, for example, the difference between LeBron James and Bronny James. Mm. Bronny James had every opportunity growing up, and he's in the NBA. He's a fine basketball player, but his dad, you know, not a great life growing up, and then became the greatest basketball player of all time.
But some of it, you're just born with natural talent.
True, and I agree with that. But do you think, like, coming up that mindset, like, oh, I need to be great. I need this to have a better life.
I saw Shannon Sharp interviewed once, and they didn't have it. They had nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was as poor as you can get, but he was a pretty good football player, and he was like, I've got to make myself great because I've got to get to the NFL.
And his brother, too.
Yeah. Sterling, was a superstar. Same way. And he followed in the footsteps of his brother. He's like, my brother showed me how to do it, and he knew they were dirt poor. Dennis Rodman was mopping floors in an airport when he wound up going to the Bulls.
But there's plenty of stories of people think it's the way out, and it isn't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can't. I mean, sometimes you just have enough talent, and baseball in particular, to get to the minor league level, but no further, or high school or college level, but no further.
Well, see, that's why I think golf is an outlier, is because, you know, when you play in the NBA, there's obviously physical requirements to be successful.
Yeah.
Golf, I mean, there's all shapes and sizes out there, like John Daly to Tiger Woods.
Yeah. But the difference, I mean, a great golfer shoots 75 most of the time, let's say. He's never going to sniff the PGA Tour, you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to, the difference between shooting 75 consistently to 70 consistently is an enormous difference, you know? And golf is like, if you change your club a millimeter, suddenly it's a different shot.
Very nuanced.
I saw a thing with Nick Faldo once when he was being interviewed. And when he was a kid, like 12, 13, when he really got committed, like you're saying, he would get up in the morning, play 2 hours, hit 2 hours on the range, play 18, have lunch, play another 18, come back, have dinner, and hit 2 more hours on the range. So he was up from like 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. playing 36 holes and 4 hours on the range. Wow.
Yeah, see, I think of golf as just repetitive motion.
That's true, yeah.
More so than, I mean, no, it doesn't even matter the course. It's just that repetitive motion over and over and over until your body locks into it.
But it almost seems like that's also the sport where, because it's just you and the course, your mental game.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Can fall apart
that's
fast.
Where Tiger,
you got to have that, too.
Tiger was so good mentally.
Well, you know my stance on what ruined Tiger.
Poon.
That ex-wife. He was great when he got the poon.
Oh, the ex-wife.
When he was sleeping with all those Hooters and Perkins waitresses. I mean, he was winning. He could not be stopped. The wife found out, ruined it.
Nope. That's what he went. That Thanksgiving was pretty rough.
Yeah.
After that.
After they found out, because he had to pretend to be somebody he wasn't now. What he had to pretend to be.
Is it like 13 majors pre that event and two after, something like that?
He would win a major, go to Perkins, get a dinner, and you know what? And he'd be on his way to the next one.
Well, he's raised that way.
Truly. If you watch that documentary.
That's BBJ's point.
That's what he knows,
Dang, I could sit and talk to you for an hour. That's what a breath of fresh air in here.
And I'm telling you, if Tiger ever heard my take behind closed doors, he'd fist bump me. He'd be like, he's absolutely 1,000% right.
Well, neither one of you could get up and walk across the floor to fist bump each other.
You could tap canes.
Yeah. We're both recovering.
You got my cane? You got my cane? Give me my cane.